Sridhar Maharaj. There are ashrams in the temples. B.C. Swami. Yes, ashrams. There are ashrams in the altar where the Guru Parampara is there. But in the temple, there are vashashans for the gurus. Sridhar Maharaj, does it mean that there are ashrams for gurus and param gurus, everyone? B.C. Swami, previously there was only Srila Prabhupada's vashashan. Now, besides Prabhupada's ashram, there are at least two ashrams, one for the zonal guru and the other one for the visiting guru. Sridhar Maharaj, for the resident guru, and the other one is for the visiting guru. That means there are three ashrams. B.C. Swami, in Los Angeles, there were 11 other ashrams for the 11 acharyas. So that when all the 11 gurus come, they can sit there. But Rameshwar Maharaj felt that this practice is minimizing Prabhupada's position. That's why he removed his own ashram and other ashrams as well. Now only Srila Prabhupada's ashram is there. And previously, the Guru Puja used to take place simultaneously. That is, Srila Prabhupada's Guru Puja and the present Guru's Puja used to take place together. But Srila Rameshwar Maharaj has stopped his Guru Puja, and only Prabhupada's Guru Puja is taking place in the temple. Srila Sridhar Maharaj, then what about the Guru Puja of your Prabhupada's Gurudev, our Prabhupada, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur? B.C. Swami, that Guru Puja is taking place through Srila Prabhupada's Guru Puja. Their ashrams and pictures are there in the altar. Sridhar Maharaj, so this Guru Puja is taking place separately. B.C. Swami, I think in Gauriya Math, this practice was not prevalent. Sridhar Maharaj, no, we used to have just pictures in the altar. Sridhar Maharaj, so this is one question. B.C. Swami, no, the question is coming. Sridhar Maharaj, pointing out to Dhira Krishna Maharaj, whose disciple is he? B.C. Swami, he is Srila Prabhupada's disciple. Then there is a question by Dhira Krishna Swami, which has been translated by B.C. Swami. Then Sridhar Maharaj asked, in whose zone does Dhira Krishna Maharaj stay? B.C. Swami, he works under Rameshwar Maharaj in his zone, in Los Angeles. Then Rameshwar Maharaj's zone was described. Then Sridhar Maharaj asked, is he in his zone all the time, or was that Hansadutta Maharaj's zone beforehand? No, he is working with Rameshwar Maharaj all along. And Rameshwar Maharaj also is looking after Hansadutta Maharaj's zone. Is Rameshwar Maharaj initiating there also? B.C. Swami, no, I don't think he is initiating there. Has Hansadutta Maharaj been removed from there temporary or permanently? B.C. Swami, yes, I think it is temporary. Dhira Krishna Swami, no, it is permanent. Sridhar Maharaj, Tamar Krishna also has been permanently removed. B.C. Swami, yes, he is also permanently removed. Was this decided unanimously? Dhira Krishna Swami, yes, finally it was unanimously decided. Sridhar Maharaj, this this has been a very serious step. It can be considered to be a death blow. The positions that was established by Shami Maharaj on the strength of majority to dismiss it just in 1 or 2 years, this has been a very bold step. This has been an interference into the Shauta Pantha. I think that such bold steps should not have been taken to challenge the decision of the spiritual master and give a verdict against his will. Do you follow?
I'll just let it run.
I'm just making some pause.
Right.
Sridhar Maharaj, quote, at one point he is saying that a Madhyam Adhikari can become a guru, unquote. So this is relative, but the absolute consideration, what is he saying? But did he ever mention that if there is some fault in the guru, then some action should be taken? Did he say what should be done?
Bhakti Charu repeats his Dhira Krishna's question that it's a deviation, and Sridhar Maharaj insists whether it's the only deviation, or is there any further deviation than that. This deviation is not sufficient criterion to be considered a deviation. Mahaprabhu has advised all of us to chant at least 64 rounds. Even better than a lakh is 3 lakh names. But that is not possible because of an overwhelming devotional, practical devotional service. It's not being possible. So the question at hand is, why has he reduced the number of rounds? Is it because of negligence or apathy? Maybe he has turned his attention more towards other practical service, other practical services. But the consideration of the other service is with what depth, sincerity and intensity that is being executed. That must be measured. We simply cannot judge by saying that he has deviated. All these have to be taken into consideration. Mahaprabhu said that until and unless a devotee chants a minimum of 64 rounds, I shall not accept any prasadam from his hands. Bhakti Charu Maharaj says that Srila Prabhupada, being a devoted servant and servitor of Lord Chaitanya, is more merciful than Lord Chaitanya himself, and so he recommends only 16 rounds.
Now we stop.
But at the same time, he said that it is better to chant 1 lakh names. But generally, it is seen that it is not possible for missionaries to complete that many number of rounds. Actually, Sridhar Maharaj said that it's 3 lakh names which is better, according to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But for missionaries, it might not always be possible. At least 4 rounds minimum should be chanted so that we see that the mala does not get starved. History will stand witness to it. I would like you to refer to Bhakti Vinod Thakur's Harinam Chintamani. In that book, the tattva on Guru Acharya has been dealt very extensively with. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asking questions to Ramananda Raya and Ramananda Raya answering. But here in this book, we find Haridas Thakur asking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the questions and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu answering the question. Excuse me, mistake. In this particular book, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks Haridas Thakur about the efficacy and the transcendental position of the holy name of the Lord. He has dealt with the question of Acharya very scrutinizingly in this particular book. So the point of accepting a guru under what conditions? Once you have accepted a guru, there's no question of rejecting. This point has been discussed very subtly. And also the point where a disciple accepts a guru and under very peculiar conditions is forced to ultimately reject him has also been discussed in this book. It is actually a misfortune for that disciple to have to reject his guru once he has accepted him. One must be very careful and judge everything according to Shastra before he accepts a guru. Precaution should be taken before one actually accepts a guru. After considering who the actual guru is, then one places his head, symbolically speaking, at his lotus feet. And once he has placed it in his lotus feet, it is very difficult to take it away again. All the symptoms of a bona fide guru should be scrutinizingly judged before accepting him as a guru. Here in India, before the marriage, before the negotiations, everybody can judge the qualities of the bride. But once the marriage has already been completed, then it is a point of no return. This point has to be gone over once more. This question about a grand disciple has to be clarified. The Rittik Acharyas, when they initiate, their disciples become grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada. This is a question to clarify what Bhakti Charu Maharaj was reading. And if the first initiation is done by the Rittik Acharya and they come to Srila Prabhupada for the second initiation, then whose actually disciples are they? This is Sridhar Maharaj's question. Here, Sridhar Maharaj wants to clarify the point whether when Srila Prabhupada is not available for the second initiation and the second initiation is also performed by the Rittik Acharyas, then whose disciple do they become? Do these points manifest themselves in this particular conversation? They certainly are Srila Prabhupada's grand disciple, but the question is, what has Srila Prabhupada done in his lifetime? Has Srila Prabhupada allowed in his presence others to initiate the Harinam, the Harinam Diksha? Bhakti Charu Maharaj says, yes, during Srila Prabhupada's presence, some of the Rittik Acharyas actually initiated Harinam. Did the Rittik Acharyas during Prabhupada's time actually initiate or give Harinam? This was Sridhar Maharaj's question. And did Prabhupada interfere in that particular context with second Diksha? The sons of Advaita on one side, the three of them became Vaishnavas and the other three became Smarthas.
Mahaprabhu says to Sanatan, Babuhar Bhakti Tumi Shikhayacho More. Mahaprabhu said, Sanatan, you have taught me how to practice devotional service. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to Vrindavan, thousands and thousands of people were following him. So Sanatana Goswami told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, quote, you are going to Vrindavan, you won't get the real pleasure of going to Vrindavan with so many people around you. So, hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wondered, yes, what Sanatan told me, that is correct. All these hundreds and thousands of people will create a chaos in Vrindavan. They'll start breaking and smashing everything in Vrindavan, so I won't get any pleasure in going to Vrindavan. Considering this, he decided to go to Puri instead of Vrindavan, and he announced that he would go to Jagannath Puri instead of going to Vrindavan. Due to this instruction of Sanatan, he cancelled such a big campaign of going to Vrindavan, and instead he went to Jagannath Puri. And then from there, just with one companion with him, he went to Vrindavan. Ichchakrita Parajaya means accepting the defeat by himself. B.C. Swami, quote, Dhira Krishna Maharaj was asking that yesterday you told that if somebody is not respectful towards the Guru Parampara, if somebody fails to show proper respect to the Guru Parampara, then he can be removed from his position of an Acharya. Sridhar Maharaj, yes, then he is disconnected, period. I was telling that in the disciplic succession or the Shauta Parampara, there is links, like links after links, like in a chain. If one becomes offensive to that chain of links, if one becomes disconnected from that link, then that is the primary symptom and he has to be removed. Period. But if there is a little rust in the link, then one should wait and see. One will have to, then it will have to be considered. That can again become clean. So these worldly considerations dash, like someone may be a little angry, someone may be a little too greedy, somebody may be a little too arrogant. All these characteristics in the external behavior, these things can be tolerated and watched for a while. B.C. Swami. B.C. Swami. Dhira Krishna Maharaj was telling that many devotees are waiting. For 3 years they have been watching, and they are clearly noticing that many of the gurus are failing to show proper respect to Srila Prabhupada. Sridhar Maharaj, the devotees, by devotees you mean the God brothers. Yes? Sign of interrogation. B.C. Swami, yes. They are directly expressing their disregard for Prabhupada in many cases. Like Prabhupada gave an instruction that if we have any difficulty, then we should come to you. But they are deliberately neglecting that instruction of Srila Prabhupada. period, and they're directly showing disregard to that instruction of Srila Prabhupada, period. Isn't this a clear indication that they are becoming disrespectful to the disciplic succession, the Shrota Parampara, and thus they are disconnecting themselves from the line of disciplic succession? Sign of interrogation. In the purport of one of the shlokas of Isho Upanishad, Srila Prabhupada is saying this part of the purport was translated and spoken to Srila Sridhar Maharaj. While B.C. Swami was reading that purport, Srila Sridhar Maharaj quoted a shloka, which means that this kind of people become attracted by the glamour of the material nature. When B.C. Swami finished translating the purport of Srila Prabhupada from Isho Upanishad, Sridhar Maharaj commented, "They are traitors, and that's why they'll be punished very severely." Sridhar Maharaj quoted a shloka that says that never go in the front, because if it is successful, then you share the result equally with everybody else. But if it is a failure, then you are the one to bear the brunt.
Sarva Bhavala Prabhu raises the question that if by any chance some activity taken up by the society somehow or the other goes against the instructions and against the parampara of the guru, then if we go against the instructions of our spiritual master and simply make the present ISKCON set up into a cult worship, when instead of distributing the Sanatan Dharma through the books, they simply take up a method of earning money, any method for earning money. They are simply individually trying to beat their own drums and be the center of everything. If you kindly allow me, Maharaj, then I can individually point out the different ways they are doing this. A slight interruption from outside follows, not included within the tape. In the conversation, the question by Sarvabhavana was repeated to Srila Sridhar Maharaj in Bengali for better understanding, and the additional part will be translated right now. And now, Maharaj, in our case, when Srila Prabhupada left the planet, then he just left certain leaders in command, although they were not ready for it. And those leaders themselves often agree to this fact. But laughing, Srila Sridhar Maharaj says, "But anyhow, before leaving the planet, Prabhupada did make some arrangements in the form of a GBC body." Sarvabhavana says that, "But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada had more or less pointed out a prime minister to whom we could go to in moments of difficulties, and that prime minister, so to speak, was you, Srila Sridhar Swami." Srila Sridhar Maharaj humbly says, "Not for protection, but rather for taking suggestions when required. He will give suggestions impartially so that the best can be achieved for the society. Sarvabhavana adds, Maharaj, until and unless we realize that we need suggestions, how can we approach somebody for suggestions? They are thinking that they are not lacking in anything. Sarvabhavana adds, Maharaj, one of the most important instructions that we received from Srila Prabhupada was to distribute these books. But at the present moment in America, not a single book practically is being distributed. But instead, they are distributing thousands of records. And these records are not songs of spiritual songs, but simply songs so that they can earn some money to maintain the temples. Not only that, the books are not being distributed, even printing has come to practically stand still. Prabhupada has done so many things, so many buildings and things he has established. If we could see that our present leaders were even trying to simply maintain what Srila Prabhupada had done, then also we could understand. Srila Sridhar Maharaj says that now they are trying to collect more men through an easy method by giving them an opportunity to gratify their senses. Sarvabhavana says, but Maharaj, those men who are coming, they are coming for a few days only and then leaving again. And even the disciples of Srila Prabhupada are also leaving. Many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples are leaving the movement and they're staying in their own houses and following the principles of bhakti. They are not wanting to stay with the present leaders. Bhakti Charu Maharaj then adds, Maharaj, just a few minutes back you were giving the example of the king in relation to trying to bring out the point of jealousy. When the king dies, then the eldest son sits on the throne and his brothers and other relatives are then envious of his position, that the son is sitting in the same throne as the father did. This envious attitude might be seen in 5 or 10, but that everybody is envious of his position is not possible. And in the beginning, more or less, all of Prabhupada's disciples were very tolerant towards them. Srila Sridhar Maharaj then says that, yes, this envious attitude could affect practically everybody around. But then, once the new king comes and slowly, through his activities, proves his worth, then this problem can be slowly solved. And the new king can, with renewed vigor, attract the minds of his relatives. Bhakti Charu Maharaj simply translates what Dhira Krishna Maharaj said in English. Srila Sridhar Maharaj says, yes, it is possible that he might have said it. We would often have discussions with each other, and so he realized that we were on the same platform. Bhakti Charu Maharaj asks Srila Sridhar Maharaj if he was feeling a little tired. Srila Sridhar Maharaj, much affected by the conversation, says that the memories of Srila Prabhupada is affecting him very much, and actually tears were rolling down his eyes. Srila Sridhar Maharaj says that his Guru Maharaj commented that at least one person will be left behind to distribute the instructions of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then, when he was preparing to leave the planet, my Guru Maharaj called me and gave last instructions, stating that everything should lead up to come and corroborate with the conclusion of Srila Rupa Goswami. Everything would finally meet and explain the efficacy of Srila Rupa Goswami's Siddhanta, that all the different Siddhantas would be taken step by step and ultimately find its beautiful conclusion in Rupanuga Bhakti. All the conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam would lead up step by step to the Rupanuga Vichar, as it is found in the conversations with Sri Ramananda Rai, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "Iha bhajjo aho karar," that you should go ahead further and state what is the actual conclusion of bhakti. Bhakti Charu Maharaj says that Dhira Krishna Maharaj says that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur will not tolerate any conclusions which are against the instructions and ideas of Rupa Goswami. He will not tolerate them at all. That all the upper siddhantas should be done away with. And in that case, is it not also our duty to act in that same capacity and act in the same, under the same instructions, not to tolerate the upper siddhantas? Bhakti Charu Maharaj translates Dhira Krishna Maharaj's question into Bengali for Sridhar Maharaj, and then further adds that from the descriptions of the lower, of the third class guru, none of the 11, present 11 acharyas fit even to that category. So what are we then supposed to do with this present situation? Not only are both their feet firmly planted in this material world, but also their vision is very much in this material world. Sarvabhavana repeats the question in Bengali to Sri Sridhar Maharaj, and in reply Sridhar Maharaj says that, "Yes, I am simply trying to see the brighter side of it, so that we may not commit any mistakes on against the other party. We must always see the brighter side." Sridhar Maharaj says, "Let me say this in Bengali. When Srila Prabhupada disappeared, left this planet, then Vasudev was made the acharya, and then many senior disciples like Nemi Maharaj objected. He said that when a branch is directly connected with the trunk, and he is then asked to connect himself with another branch, is that possible?" This was the argument he forwarded. And then I started pleading the case of Vasudev, because he was like my elder brother. I said, according to Srila Rupa Goswami, the service to a devotee is the greatest, and it is at the same time service
to the Supreme Lord. Although the bhakta is only a part, but yet by serving the bhakta, even Lord Krishna is receiving the service, is being served. By trying to serve the Lord directly, the Lord might be served or may not be served. But by serving the Lord's devotee, definitely both the devotee as well as the Lord, if served thereby, the Sri Rupanuga vichar, according to Sri Rupa Goswami, is that once you serve the sadhu, guru, Vaishnava, then the Lord is also being served. So that is how I approached this particular situation, that if an elder god brother is being served and through him our guru is being served, then we are being successful in our devotional life. And when the senior god brother is very a favorite of the Lord, is dear to the Lord, then I'm serving the guru through him and ultimately the Lord himself. This is the conclusion. My own speculation might say so many things, but this is the actual conclusion of the Shastras. So when I am approaching such a subject, I should be very careful so as not to commit any mistake. I should always see the brighter side to avoid any mistake. We must eliminate all the undesirable elements and try to see the brighter side of everything, judging it very exhaustively in order not to make any mistake.
Friendship.
And then, even if we fail in that endeavor, then of course there's nothing left for us to do, and there's no recourse to that. Do you understand? We must say all the possibilities from their point of view. We must choose all the possible arguments they might place. Once the great learned advocate Rash Bihari Ghosh came to the court quite drunk and started pleading the case of his opponent, and the lawyer or pleader of the other side was looking on quite amazed at this thing. He was thinking that this advocate is stating all the facts and points of my client. And then the junior advocate to Rash Bihari Ghosh suddenly reminded him that, "Sir, what are you doing? You are stating all the arguments for your opponent." The advocate exclaimed, "Is it so?" And then he started telling the judge that, "Your Honor, these are the different points and arguments my opponent may raise. So now I am placing forward my argument, the points I want to bring to you." And when he started speaking about the points he originally wanted to say for his own client, then the other lawyer was quite dumbfounded and had practically nothing to say. So all the arguments that the other party might want to give, we shall discuss that in detail and bring out the salient points so that we might not make any mistakes. We must be aware that we are not influenced by any prejudices, just like they are being influenced by prejudices, we should be careful not to commit the same mistake. We must be well guarded so that we are not led astray from the path of truth. Sarva Bhavana questions. Maharaj, the advice Tamal Krishna gives to his god sister Jadurani Devi Dasi, she joined much earlier to Tamal Krishna and had Srila Prabhupada's association from earlier times and longer. Srila Sridhar Maharaj says, not everything can be judged according to the time span. Just like Bhakti Charu Swami, he came much later and became very beloved of Srila Prabhupada. Not everything can be judged according to the time factor. Bhakti Charu Maharaj says, and now Dhira Krishna Maharaj would like to put a question to Srila Sridhar Maharaj says that the controller or the master of Pratishtha is Gurudev, and the master of Kanak is Sri Narayan Dev himself. Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj says, Maharaj, Dhira Krishna Maharaj is asking a question to you personally. Bhakti Charu Maharaj asks, Maharaj, you are an acharya and a very, very venerable senior Vaishnava. Then how can these 11 present acharyas take titles and worship which is even on a higher platform than you? We are seeing that within a very short time they have started taking big, big titles and big grand worship within a few days. Bhakti Charu Maharaj asks, Maharaj, previously we had spoken to the GVCs and had given that example about being partially opaque and partially transparent. Srila Sridhar Maharaj gives the example that when the tax collector of the king is collecting tax and is misappropriating funds, then the ordinary worker or the persons who are paying the tax, how can they find out what he is doing with his funds? In order for them to find out, they also have to come to that level, to come to that position, get inside, get into his activities. Then only can it be established that he is misappropriating funds. What excuse are they trying to put forward? What sort of attractive features are they trying to bewilder us with, the present acharyas? What are the arguments they are placing forward? That we have to find out. Srila Sridhar Maharaj says that maybe they consider that I am not a fit person to give proper advice. My advice may not be actually according to proper consideration. Srila Sridhar Maharaj says that this question is very difficult for me to answer. Srila Sridhar Maharaj further says that the other day Jayapataka Maharaj came to me with the case concerning Jayatirtha Maharaj. Please let me say what I want to say and clarify this point, and then we can discuss further. Jayapataka Maharaj came the other day to find out whether all the crying and singing and laughing of Jayatirtha Maharaj, whether they were genuine feelings or not, whether they are genuine symptoms of ecstasy or not. So I said no. First, I gave the scriptural injunction. And then I said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained that it is very difficult to obtain Dushprapya. That I am crying is merely to get name and fame. This is so on a high platform. But lastly, I pointed out that when your spiritual master did not point out or manifest these symptoms in public, then why is he trying to go above your guru? At this, Jayaprathaka was satisfied and he said, yes, it's all right, I have come, I've got what I've come for. This brought out the ultimate point and he did not require any other points further. Srila Prabhupada had earlier approached me to train up some boys, but first he sent them to Bon Maharaj, like disciples like Achyutananda and Ramanuja and some others. But Bon Maharaj, he took one away from your Guru Maharaj and made him into his own disciple. And then he wrote to me in the name of Govinda Maharaj, asking me to look after the boys. And that letter I still have. So Achyutananda and Ramanuja came first, and he wanted me to train them up. 'Cause he